Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 120 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of October 7th, 2016. I am Chris Randazzo, and with me, as always, is Processor of Dracula's Rib, Dan Ryan.
I certainly am a processor.
You now process Dracula's Rib.
I do.
Love Simon's Quest.
I do indeed.
Castlevania is 30 years old. So as part of Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween, Dan and I are going to be spending the month doing a Castlevania retrospective series. Because apparently people thought we did pretty well with the Metroid one. So what the hey. And since my wife is probably going to have a kid any moment now, any day now, she's not currently in labor, we are actually uncharacteristically recording a few of these episodes in advance. So as a result, we won't be doing any new segments for at least the next couple of episodes. But don't worry, there's more than enough Castlevania to fill the next few weeks. But before we get to that, here is your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com and let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. So, how you doing, Dan?
I am fucking fabulous, Chris. How are you?
I am also pretty fabulous.
Well, that's because you still only have one kid.
That's right.
And Karen really needs to get on the ball and get that kid out of her.
By the time people hear this, I will have two kids. But right now, when we record, the internet is a weird place. All right, we're like time traveling here.
Right.
I feel like I'm in the future, and it's weird.
We're the
I also
best
forgot
time
to wash
travel.
My hair this morning. It's really,
did you?
Really, it's. I took a shower this morning, and like not a short shower. Like I wasn't in there for 5 minutes and done. Like I was in there for a while, and then I get out, do my whole routine. I go to work. I'm sitting at my desk. I must have been there for like, I don't know, a half an hour, 45 minutes, and something just feels off. And I got my hand in my hair. I'm like, it's fucking greasy. Damn it! I totally forgot to wash my hair. How did I forget to wash my hair in the shower that entire time?
Were you drinking in the shower?
No. Should have been.
I mean, because I do. It's a wonderful thing. Like, no, shower beers are... I'm sad, like legitimately sad, that it took me so long to experience the joy that is the shower beer. Because, oh my goodness, is it a wonderful time. But,
well, I mean, first off, I'm not much of a drinker, as you know, I shower in the morning. Like, I'm in the shower at 6 a.m. Is that,
well,
like, when you're rocking
silly.
The shower beer? Or?
I pass. Usually, I shower at night. There have been, some of the beers have coffee in them, Chris. That makes it okay.
That's basically a morning beer.
Those are the ones I don't drink at night, because I'm old and I can't sleep if I have caffeine past 6.
So, for this retrospective, we've broken the series into 5 categories that we'll be covering in 4 weeks. There's the classic style games encompassing the NES and Game Boy series, the 16-bit style games, which were the games that still focused on the classic action, single stage-based style of Castlevania, but with a more modern technology twist, the Metroidvania style games that transformed the Castlevania series into something more exploration-based, the 3D style games, which is self-explanatory, and then the category I'm calling Weird Shit, which includes all the other games of the franchise that don't quite fit into other molds. Tonight's episode will be about what I am calling the classic area. That's the 3 NES games, the 3 Game Boy games, and Vampire Killer for the MSX2. And here we go. So, first game, first release in the entire franchise, Castlevania for the Famicom Disk System, released on September 26th, 1986, then in May of 1987 on the NES, and this was also ported to the Commodore 64, the Amiga, and MS-DOS, as well as the PlayChoice 10 Nintendo Versus System arcade cabinets. So, first off, if you've never played Castlevania on Commodore 64...
don't bother.
You know, actually, no. The C64 one's all right. The Amiga one is kind of gross, and the DOS one is hideous. Really, play this game on the NES or the Famicom Disk System.
Yeah, really. It's play for what it was meant to be played on, because designed for the Famicom, right? Because Konami had been making like Frogger and a bunch of other arcade titles and doing pretty well with them. And then the arcade market started shifting a little bit, so they went into home console development. Mm-hmm. So Castlevania specifically made like for the Famicom. Yes. That is where you should play, or NES for
Famicom Disk System, NES, which is interesting that also the next game we'll talk about, Vampire Killer, was developed pretty much concurrently and released very shortly thereafter. But you know,
but
it's
a few
actually different animal
differences. Yeah, a couple of tweaks.
Yeah, pretty different game. But Castlevania, all right. So It's a love letter to the classic monster movies. Obviously, it's very Dracula oriented. You play as Simon Belmont, a vampire hunter. You have an enchanted whip, and you fight all the universal monsters like the Frankenstein's monster and Medusa for some reason,
and a bat.
It's a big
is
bat.
Is the giant bat? Is that Dracula? Is that his first form? That's never been a thing.
Not the first bat you fight in. Nah, because there's throughout the series you'll occasionally fight just giant bats.
Bats. I don't know. I thought when I was a kid, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, after I beat the game, I was like, shit, I beat, like, that was Dracula's first form. And then,
that's kind of interesting.
And then I beat him later. It's like fucking fighting Frieza, which was a reference that I wouldn't have made then because I hadn't seen Dragon Ball Z yet. But I can't think of anything else that in my... other than like Dracula, he was a bat, and you know, then he was missed, and why the fuck is he all around this castle while I'm walking around? He's just watching me. It's creepy. Dracula's a fucking creeper, man.
He is, and then his adorable final form in the NES game.
Yeah,
just like
where he just opens up his cape and goes "Mrah!" and shoots fucking fireballs at you, and you're shitty.
And then he turns that big blue, big mouth.
What the fuck that is? Yeah,
Cookie Monster thing that just jumps around. Mm. So Castlevania, I mean, it's a side-scrolling platformer. Screen scrolls and all that jazz. You use your whip, similar to Ninja Gaiden, where you hit like lights and like candles, and they give you power-ups and whatnot. Which clearly, I think Ninja Gaiden ripped that. But it's a very solidly paced game. You know, it wasn't super fast-paced. It was just all action, you know, get through the stages. Tough as nails.
Oh, it's so hard.
Game is just
it's so
mean.
Hard.
And, like, once you get good at it, I think, like, some of the world records are around, like, 15, 16 minutes or something like that,
which is crazy.
Just blows my mind. I'll never be able to do that. But
no.
Yeah, I was actually playing it earlier today.
Yeah.
I busted it out on the Wii Virtual Console and played around with it for a few minutes, and I soundly beat the first three stages, and then I got to level four, and she's like,
I'm done. it's not even necessarily that it's hard. It is exact.
Yeah.
Like, it is from that time period of games, those halcyon days of where if you missed a jump, like, you could miss a jump by a pixel, and you could fucking see, and like, because you thought when you were walking, at least I did when I was a kid, I was like, well, I can't hang my ass off this ledge here. Like, I have to jump before I get to the edge. But the jumps were spaced out so exactly that you had to, like, pixel perfect jump because the control was so weird and so singular to Castlevania, like nothing else controlled like it. And
yeah, I mean, very similar to Ghosts and Goblins, your inertia mm-hmm. was your inertia. Like, when you jump forward, that's your path. You can't control yourself in midair. So, yeah, very, very meticulous jumping is required for this game. You can't talk about Castlevania without talking about the soundtrack, though.
Oh, my God. Like, I find myself humming the song just randomly. It's one of the few video game songs. Like, I love video game music and listen to it, but... like, I'll just be walking around my house going, do, 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 do.
Oh, yeah, Vampire Killer is. Vampire Killer is amazing.
That's so fucking good. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, this whole soundtrack is fantastic. Well, the majority of the soundtrack is fantastic. There are like one or two tracks that are like, okay, Poison Mind, the boss battle. Sure, it works, but I'm not exactly going out of my way to listen to it.
Right.
Recorded a great Waveback episode on this, by the way. It's coming out in October.
Plug.
plug. Listen to cheap, it. Good times.
Cheap pop.
But yeah, great, great game. Great, great soundtrack. And the start of a hell of a franchise. What I didn't realize is that none of the games in this series broke a million copies in sales for a very long time.
Really?
Yeah. The first game in the Castlevania franchise to break a million was Circle of the Moon for Game Boy Advance.
No shit.
Yeah, pretty wacky. Like, that's, I always figured Castlevania stupid. Was one of the seminal NES games, and it was. I don't even think it's in the top 50 for sales in NES, which is ridiculous. So, speaking of ridiculous, let's move on to the second game, Vampire Killer for the MSX2, released only in Japan on October 30th, 1986, which was about 1 month after Castlevania hit the Famicom Disk System. At first glance, this looks like, if you just look at screenshots, you would think this is the MSX version of Castlevania.
Right.
But it is actually a very different game. It does not scroll. It goes single screen for single screen. And it is actually a little bit more exploratory. It's not quite Metroidvania yet. It's not even like Metroid or even something like Blaster Master. So it goes screen by screen. You can go up, down, left, right, and there's keys and treasure chests hidden all over the place. And you have to, you know, find the keys and, you know, get the right keys to go through the doors and open up the treasure chest and get all the different power-ups, and then eventually get to the bosses. And so the stages are themed the same way. Like, they have the same look. Like, the first stage is the inside of the castle corridors with the red curtains and whatnot. The second stage is, you know, with those knights and, you know, the orange blocks everywhere and whatnot. And the bosses are the same. So it follows that same progression. But the actual game itself is completely different, which is really neat. Have you ever played a version of this on an emulator or anything?
No, I haven't. I've seen plenty of video on it. You know, because I love Castlevania and I like to research it, you know, and be like, oh, there's other shit that I haven't played, but I have never. I don't emulate things. I have never. How very dare you? I don't work for Xbox.
What are you, Dracula?
Jesus, Chris.
Prince of Darkness would emulate things.
What a terrible night to make such an accusation.
I haven't played this either because I don't have... I mean, I've occasionally emulated things that I can't get regularly, but I certainly don't have myself an MSX2, and I certainly don't have a copy of Vampire Killer for it.
No.
And unlike Japan, and this kills me, they haven't put this on the Virtual Console in America. No. This is on the Wii U Virtual Console in Japan. Friggin' MSX games are on Wii U Virtual Console in Japan. I can't believe they're not over here in the States. So
one more reason for all of us to pick up and move to Japan.
So let's just get the F out of here. Let's just go right to Japan. Oh, God. But yeah, I would love to play this game. I know our friend of the show, Ollie, he's a big fan of this game. And I spoke to him about the soundtrack a while back, and I feel like... And forgive me if I'm misquoting him, but I feel like he prefers the MSX2 version of the soundtrack to the Famicom version. And it's really interesting to listen to because the MSX2 has a very specific sound chip. And Konami, you know how you listen to Konami games on NES and you know they're Konami games?
Right. They have that bassy quality that only Konami hit.
They do. And MSX2 has a very similar Konami quality. It's very different from the NES Konami quality, but you can almost always tell when you're listening to an MSX Konami game. It's really quite remarkable. But Vampire Killer, such an awesome game, as far as I can tell, and I really, really want to play it.
Well, and it really did kind of set the path of what Castlevania would eventually become, much more so than the first NES Castlevania.
To an extent, yeah. I mean, the first NES Castlevania, a lot of these games that we're going to talk about today really followed that formula where it was a stage-based, action-oriented thing. And then, even in this game that was being developed concurrently, they started adding all these different things. And moving on to our next game, Castlevania II Simon's Quest, started adding even more different elements to it. And it was a very awkward transition, similar to... similar to, but more similar to its original version than Zelda, going to Zelda 2. But Simon's Quest and Adventures of Link are two very relatively similar games, and they're both obtuse in a lot of similar ways. So Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest, released on the Famicom Disk System August 28th, 1987, and then in December of 1988 for the NES here in America. So this game, as soon as you start it, is completely different from Castlevania. Because you're in a town, there's NPCs walking around, you're talking to people who are speaking what can only be described as vaguely English. Broken English is being too kind.
It's like broken Shakespearean English.
Yeah, it's like the translation is legendarily awful.
It's so bad. I mean, the possessor of Dracula's rib.
I always thought they were trying to say process. You now process Dracula's rib. I'm like, okay, what am I processing it? But I'm confused.
I'm taking it to the meat processing plant. I'm the best at processing.
Later, so all right, before we get into the more of the minutiae here, Simon's Quest is a bit more, let's say, open world. It's very exploratory. You go from town to town, you buy things, you have to find all the pieces of Dracula's body and then resurrect him only so you can kill the shit out of him permanently.
I gotta put you back together so I can break you right.
It's because Simon Belmont was cursed before he defeated Dracula in the original game, apparently.
Naturally.
And what a horrible night to have a curse.
What a horrible night to have a curse. Like, I mean, I suppose every night would be a horrible night to have a curse. Be like,
yeah, is there a good night to have a curse?
It's like, it's Halloween. It's not too bad. It's kind of fitting. You know, everybody's dressed up all spooky and here I am cursed. Like,
it's Wednesday. I'm not going out tonight, so it's okay that I have a curse.
New episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on. I'll be in. It's all right.
So it's got a day-night cycle, which is pretty cool. That was really not something you saw very often way back when. But I never got into this one. I tried and got lost. Very similar to me playing Legacy of the Wizard. Where I was just like, I feel like I should like this a lot, but I just don't.
And I
want to play Zelda 2 instead.
I fucking love this one, but I mostly love this one because my older cousin, Jimmy, I was always very envious of how cool I thought Jimmy was, and I still think Jimmy's fucking cool. Like, he has a way cooler job than I do. Like, he lives in Colorado and is like a helicopter rescue person. Like, yeesh. So when, yeah, right. When motherfuckers go hiking and they're like, oh, I'm so fat because like I'm a typical American, and like they break their ankles and shit and they can't get down. Like, my cousin Jimmy comes in on a helicopter and he fucking like, you know, flies in and is like, I'll save you, fat American, and like pulls him out. You know, like, so he's got a way fucking cooler job than I do. And he lives in like the art district in Denver. And I'm like, fuck, I live in the woods. Like, yeah, you know. But anyway, I always thought he was so cool. And, you know, I kind of looked up to him. And I remember going over to his house, and where they lived in New Jersey, they had this den in the front. And like, you know, now it would be a library or office space. But like, we called those dens back in the day. And the den had the Nintendo in it, and like I was always envious of Jimmy, but I was closer with my cousin Ryan, so I would go for a sleepover, and we would go down, and Jimmy would be playing fucking Castlevania 2, and I always associated it with like, I suck at this game, I must not be old enough, because like my cousin's 4 or 5 years older than I am, so it's like, I just must not be ready for this. Like, the first Castlevania I could get, but this one, it was so weird and so obtuse, and because the translation system was so broken, I thought I just wasn't ready. But I always fucking loved it. I would go and watch my cousin Jimmy play it, and he fucking beat the shit out of the game. And
clearly he had or knew somebody with Nintendo power, because that was the only way to know about the whole get a crystal, duck at the wall for 30 seconds until a tornado shows up or whatever.
Yeah, you know,
what
like
the hell? I
remember
that's where I got stuck, by the way. That's part of the game
exact
was
moment.
Where I was completely stuck. I never figured that out.
Well, and see, like, he was the perfect type of like older cousin relative, because I remember that part, like watching that part and me thinking to him, holy shit, Jimmy, how the fuck did you figure that out? He'd be like, I don't know, man, I just did. I'm like, fuck you, I know you had Nintendo Pat. Like, now I know that. But when I was a kid, I was like, oh shit, you were so good at video games. Like, fuck, man. Now I'm just like, dude, you're a dick, you cheated. It's okay, because I do it too. I play all my games on easy mode because I'm an adult and I have a life. But like,
I got shit to do.
I have fucking like bedtime stories to read and shit. I ain't got time to be chasing after the Arkham Knight on fucking hard mode. Give me that shit on easy. I still haven't beat it. But, you know, like, I just, fuck, man. I love this game, though. I really love it. And it's so weird, because if you look at games like this and like Zelda 2, I think maybe because a lot of sequels on the NES were so different than their predecessor, I think there had to have been some sort of like decision in the video game world of like, let's give them something totally different, because maybe they don't want to play the same thing again. So like, let's give them the same character, but in a new setting, you know? Or,
I mean, they had been doing that forever. I mean, look at Donkey Kong Jr., you know?
Well, like, yeah.
There's your sequel to Donkey Kong. Completely different
game.
I think it was just the way, yeah, it was just the way that people made games back then.
I mean, that must have been what it was, you know, of like, we're not sure if people are going to want to do the same thing over again. Like, why would they buy the sequel if it's just the same thing? We have to give them a new experience, when in reality, what we wanted was the same fucking thing we played. I like that shit. That's why I bought it. Like, yeah, I like that.
I want more.
One.
Give me more. Don't.
Don't change that. Like,
well, they did.
It was like that time when Metallica put out a country album. Like, what are you bit? No, they didn't do that. They should have, though. It would have been better than some of the shit we got. Am I right? I know you're a big Metallica fan, Chris.
Load. And reload.
And Stanger, which is really Saint Anger. But if you look at it quickly, you don't notice the period. And I went, why the fuck they call that shit Stanger? That doesn't make any sense. Whatever. Stupid Metallica. That's why I don't buy your albums.
Alright, next game. Next game on the list.
Oh, that's right. We're supposed to be going through these quickly. Castlevania 3. Alucard. Yeah,
not quite yet. Next game on the list was the first portable Castlevania in 1989. Uh-huh. Castlevania The Adventure for Game Boy came out in Japan October 27th, 1989, and in the U.S. on December 15th, 1989. And this game is Game Boy as fuck.
It really is. Like, I got this game in 1989, and I literally, before the show tonight, just got past the first stage walking. That's how fucking slow this game is. It is, I cannot properly communicate, unless you have experienced it yourself, the turtle-esque pace, which that might be generous. This makes a sloth look like fucking Speedy Gonzalez, how slow this game is.
So you're Christopher Belmont in this one. I don't remember my Belmont lineage perfectly, but I feel like he's Simon's grandfather or Trevor's grandfather or some. I don't know.
He's his aunt.
He's his aunt. Aunt Christopher.
Aunt Christopher, the black sheep of the family.
Christopher Belmont is slow as molasses, and it was an intentional design thing. Like, obviously this is an early Game Boy game,
right?
And Konami knows that there's lots of like screen blur, motion blur on the Game Boy screen, so they slowed the action down to make everything work a little better. But unfortunately they went way too far, and especially in that part in the first level where there's just all these little tiny platforms in a row.
Yep.
And if you miss one, you gotta walk all the way back to the beginning.
And then the parts later with the floating platforms that fall. Fuck you. I hate this game. I really do. It's not a bad game, but
nah,
I hate that. It's the most frustrating Castlevania game I've ever played.
After I got like the hang of it, like, I mean, I know the game fairly well by now, because I mean, it was portable Castlevania. I loved it. And the music is so good that I always wanted to play it, just because I loved the music so much. And I mean, I can blow through this game fairly quickly now. And you know, it's got ropes in it instead of stairs, which is kind of neat. And you know, your whip shoots a fireball, which is cool. And and when you rolling eyeballs all over the place.
When you jump on the rope, you become half your size.
Yeah, that doesn't really add up. Like, his back should not be that skinny. That's very strange. Like, he doesn't get shorter. He gets thinner. It's very weird.
It's a trick with mirrors.
So, yeah, first portable Castlevania. The first portable of a lot of games were weird. Like, Super Mario Land was a really interesting version of Super Mario Brothers, you know?
Yeah.
This was way earlier than stuff like Metroid 2 and Kid Icarus of Mess and Monsters. So there were considerably more growing pains. So you think of stuff like, I don't know, like the Game Boy Bubble Bobble or Wizards and Warriors Fortress of Fear, where it's like, it's pretty different, but it's still kind of the same. So I don't know. This game is really worth checking out if for the soundtrack alone, but you just got to be patient as hell for it.
You really, really, it really... My goodness, is it slow.
All right, well, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hit up the rest of the games in the classic Castlevania series. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com, so stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com. First up, I can read. Dan kicked off Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween this year by sharing his love for the supergroup known as the Gravediggers. What happens when you take Wu-Tang alumni and cross them with slasher movie themes? You get an unforgettable album, that's what. Find out why Dan's a fan of the Gravediggers in Gravediggers, 6 feet deep. Gravediggers.
You are the whitest person I know. It's amazing to hear you.
I should always say things like Wu-Tang and Gravediggers.
It just sounds so weird.
Isn't there somebody named the RZA in there?
The RZA is in the Gravediggers. Shit, son.
And I always thought it was pronounced RZA.
What is the RZA up to these days?
I'm sure hope he's taking care of that old dirty bastard.
Oh, old dirty's dead.
Damn.
He's been dead for years.
You're springing this shit on me now?
I know, I'm sorry. Ooh, baby, I like it, bro. Oh, God damn it! Now I gotta go listen to Old Dirty. I'm not gonna have to, because it was in the fucking trailer for
Luke Cage. Luke Cage,
motherfucker. Next, Words of Power is finally returning, because the rest of us are fucking lazy, and this time Matt Ramo from Ring the Bell is reading the legendary fucking adaptation of Castlevania II, Simon's Quest. Discover the story of a Castlevania fan named Timothy Bradley, who meets a man named Simon Quest, who whisks him away to the video game world of Caviar Dreams in Castlevania. It's even somehow, for real, like, when you listen to this, it is somehow more absurd than what I just said. Check back every Tuesday and Thursday in October for new chapters of Words of Power, Castlevania II, Simon's Quest. I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear it read to me. I'm going to listen to it in my jammies.
Me too.
I'm so in.
Next, then, I still can't read. My Waveback co-host Vicky joins our 31 Days of Halloween series Geekade's Scariest Moments by telling us all about the thing that scared her the most. Turns out it actually wasn't that long ago and involves a certain impossible-to-get canceled game demo on the PlayStation 3. Be sure to read Geekade's Scariest Moments, PT.
So good. So scary. Just walking around this hallway for hours. I'm not fucking going in that door. I know I have to go in the door to progress, but no.
Why am I here? Why am I doing this?
Just not gonna. Finally, my co-host Chris also got in on the Geekade Scariest Moments train, and his is certainly abnormal. Where many Geekaders were scared by horror movies or creepy books, Chris has never been more unsettled in his life than the first time he played through Zelda 2. Read all about what a weirdo he is in Geekade's Scariest Moments, Zelda 2.
That game genuinely terrified me.
That's fucking weird.
And it was really had a lot to do with it. When I won't spoil it.
Good.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com.
We want page clicks. Clickbait.
And we're back. And that's our show. No, I'm just kidding.
Everything just got blue. Son of a bitch. Inside baseball.
You can see that too? That's so... Google Docs is awesome, ladies and gentlemen. Really game of the year, Google Docs.
Portal 2.
Portal 2, game of the year. Google Docs edition. All right, so back to Castlevania. Moving on. We're going to talk about Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. For the Famicom, released on December 22nd, 1989, and then in September of 1990 for the NES. Dracula's Frickin' Curse on Famicom. Thing that sticks out to me more than anything in this game, and a lot of stuff sticks out, is the frickin' music in this game, in the Famicom release, is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you, like, the gold standard for testing emulation is seeing what how the Famicom version of Dracula's Curse works, because it's got that crazy Konami chip in it that made the music in this game amazeballs insane. And the NES version is still good. Like, the music there is still pretty slamming. It's great. It's a good time. I should never use the word slamming again the rest of my life unless we're talking about wrestling games.
It was banging, son.
It was banging, son.
Yeah. Man, the problem is that you're pronouncing the G, and you have to drop that part of it. Like, if
Bannon?
You want to... Yeah. Like, shut up. Oh, that was so quick and funny. Good for you. Well played, sir.
Bannon. Bannon.
All right. Fucking Jesus.
Harvey Birdman quotes. Ladies and gentlemen, good night.
Bye, curious.
So, yeah, Dracula's Curse. This kind of took the Super Mario 3 approach and did the whole best of both worlds thing, where Super Mario 3 had aspects of Super Mario 1 and 2 in it and just kind of made it all work with a bit more Mario 1 than Mario 2. Castlevania 3 is a bit more Castlevania 1 than Castlevania 2, but it's still got a little bit of that exploratory element, you know, with the branching paths, different characters. Dan, tell me why you love Castlevania 3.
I really loved... this was a game that I never owned. I always rented it. Like, I could never find it to buy anywhere.
Same here.
For some reason, like, they shipped, like, four copies to the rental stores in Williamstown, and that was it. Playing through this game, the first time, like, you played through and you got the little pirate. What the fuck was his name?
Grant
DeNasty, right? Not DeNice. He's fucking DeNasty.
Yeesh.
Yeah. The first time, like, you play through that and you get him as a character, like, you beat him in the fight and then he's like, all right, I'm going to join you. I was like, word? All right, this fucking cool. I can switch? And you can, like, climb on walls and shit. Oh, this is fucking sweet. Like, it was really, really cool. And it really... I didn't know the term level design back then because I was, you know, fucking young and stupid. But, like, the level design in that game is so smart. And the way you're able to use the different characters to access different points of it... It was really the precursor to stuff that they were going to do later on with, you know, like the double jump and the fucking, like, all the different powers you would get in the 3DS games or the DS games, and we'll get to those eventually. But this was done through the use of other characters, and it introduced us to Alucard, who, I'm going to be honest, I had no idea that that was Dracula backwards. For years I didn't know that. Like... an absurd amount of years. You know,
because it just sounds like a cool Japanese name, you know?
It just sounds like a cool name. I never assumed it would be anything, but, like, I'm talking, I was in my 20s before somebody was like, you know, it's like Dracula backwards. I was like, oh, shit. It
Dracula
is
terrible at naming his kids.
He really
what
is.
What an ass.
Like, fuck, dude. That
I should have named my son Cirque. Cirque Zadnor.
My son, if I ever had one, would have been named Nad if you spelled my name backwards, the poor bastard. Yeah, no, so like it really did take me an abnormally long time to figure that out. But the music in this game was great, and you're right, it was a little bit more Castlevania 1 than Castlevania 2. You could choose your branching path at the end of it, but the graphics were stepped up. Like, this was a little brighter, or maybe not brighter, but
it had more colors.
It had,
you know,
more
like
colors.
The first stage was a similar color palette to like a lot of Castlevania 1 stuff, but it also had those stained glass windows in the background.
Yeah,
so
it just opened up the world more.
Really
it
did.
Felt more alive. It controlled a little bit better. It was still exacting and precise, but I felt like it controlled a little bit better. You know, gave you the variety. It's an amazing game. It's not my favorite. Like, Castlevania is still my favorite in the original NES trilogy. Like, I still love the first one because of how much of a nod it is to the classic Universal monsters, like starting with the film reel and all that shit. But
I'm with you too. The first Castlevania is my favorite of this whole group that we're talking about.
Yeah,
is my favorite just because it was just something magical about it. Like, it really had that character to it. And
but this one really is a close second.
It is, definitely. And the one after it is another one of my favorites in this series, the one that we're going to talk about next. But yeah, Dracula's Curse, the music was very good, but there was something I really liked about how the music in the first one was exciting yet reserved at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every rendition of Vampire Killer after the first game is very bombastic. It's very, very just in your face and loud, and you want to get up and dance or something. And in the first game, it has the same... I usually am dancing when I'm playing Castlevania. I was going to make a whip joke. I'm glad I didn't. But the first time you hear Vampire Killer, it is actually a relatively reserved sounding song. I don't know what it is about the instrumentation they used that's kind of muted. But anyway, Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse, really, really spectacular game. Really, really, really shows what the NES was capable of. And what Konami was capable of back in the day. So
when
moving
they
on.
Still cared.
Oh, back when Castlevania was more than pachinko machines. Castlevania 2, as in the sequel to Castlevania the Adventures, there are two Castlevania 2s. Castlevania 2 Belmont's Revenge for the Game Boy, released on July 12th, 1991 in Japan, August of 1991 in the United States, and where... If I don't know why people hate on the original Super Mario Land, it's weird as shit, but it's still a freaking awesome game. But everyone agrees Super Mario Land 2 is better.
Right.
This is that same situation. This is everything that was wrong with the first Castlevania Game Boy game was absolutely fixed for this sequel. Belmont's Revenge is spectacular.
And I've never played it because of the first one.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
Oh man, you gotta play this one. It's unfortunately hasn't been released on the virtual console because I don't know why. I really don't. I
because
no
reasons.
Explanation. Because of reasons. This one starts off Mega Man style, where like you just have four different themed castles and you just pick one, whatever order you want to go in, live the dream, which is fantastic. And then you finish off the game in like, you know, a handful of stages, getting up to the final boss. Fan freaking tastic music. They put the power ups back in, like the axes and whatnot. I can't remember which ones are in it, but the sub weapons are back in. You can still get the little fireball whip. I'm pretty sure the rolling eyeballs are still in there somewhere. But this game
some
is great.
Goddamn reason.
This game is everything you would have wanted out of a portable Castlevania game. You know, back with the Game Boy's limitations. You know.
Right.
It's still black and white Game Boy, but boy, is this game really, really well done. Fun bosses, great monster design, but it was still very much a sequel to Castlevania the Adventure. Like, they didn't turn it into something that it wasn't. Like, whereas Super Mario Land 2 has very few ties to Super Mario Land 1, Belmont's Revenge, you still climb ropes in this game. You know, you still do the fireball whip. That power-up structure is still there. There's still... a lot of reused sprites. You're still Christopher Belmont. I mean, it's a direct continuation, and it's damn good. And I mean, it was 1991, black and white Game Boys, 2 years into the system's life, and it showed, man. This is really, really, really one of the good ones. Track this sucker down. I just can't wrap my head around why this didn't show up. Friggin' Castlevania the Adventure is on the 3DS Virtual Console. How did this one not make it on there?
Yeah.
All right, so we got one more to talk about. That would be Castlevania Legends for Game Boy. I'm assuming you've never played this one either.
I have, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
The fuck?
I know.
So, Castlevania Legends, also released for the original Game Boy, on November 27th, 1997 in Japan, mm-hmm. and in March of 1998 in the United States. Symphony of the Night was released earlier that year, and this game plays like Castlevania the Adventure.
And that is why I bought this one, because I was like, Symphony of the Night has gotten me rehyped for Castlevania, and what's this? A weird, and it's starring a female. All right, I'll play it.
The first Belmont, too. Like, that was the story. This was the first Belmont. I was like, all right, and this is cool.
Journey back to the beginning of the, yeah, like, whatever. This was really, like, when Castlevania had fully gone anime at this point. Mm-hmm. With the character designs, and certainly of Sonya, she is very much an anime character. But it's good.
Yeah, it's a decent game.
It's real good. I like it a lot.
You know, it doesn't blow the lid off anything. I mean, it's not as good as Belmont's Revenge, but it's a damn sight better than Castlevania the Adventure, and I like Castlevania the Adventure.
Yeah, it does
fall flat on a few things. Monster design, a lot of it's pretty weak. There's these really lame-looking ghosts that attack you in the first couple of stages. But all in all, it's pretty decent. I think the problem is that it's that. It's just, yeah, it's a pretty good Castlevania game, and... Well, at this point, you know, we're past Rondo of Blood. We're past Symphony of the Night, and it felt like a really big step back, especially mm-hmm. because it was on the damn black and white Game Boy. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure Game Boy Color was either right around the corner or even out at this point. I don't know. It was a weird choice to release this as a black and white Game Boy game, but if you happen to own it, you own a pretty rare game, because this game goes for pretty stupid money these days.
Mm-hmm.
I have mine loose. I wish I had it in the box, but sadly I do not.
Yeah, I threw all the boxes away for everything I ever bought. So,
but yeah, a lot of neat stuff. You get to fight and meet Alucard in this game. It mm-hmm. seems like Alucard and Sonya had a little bit of business going on. I don't know. But, you know, it's got some, you know, talking, cutscene sort of things. It's a neat game. It is an oddity, and it has been officially eradicated from the canon.
Yes. Yes, it has.
Which it makes me a little sad, because I really enjoyed the fact that they went back to the beginning and, like, it was a chick that was the first Belmont vampire hunter. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, I thought that was cool, and now it's not a thing.
Yeah, now it's not a thing. And this poor girl had both of her games. And Castlevania Legends was released, but then eradicated from the timeline, and then her other game was going to be... Castlevania Resurrection on Dreamcast, which never came out. So,
no, it did not.
Poor Sonya Belmont. So that concludes chapter one. That's part one of our Castlevania retrospective. Overall thoughts on this era.
54 minutes into our half-hour podcast.
Yes. Well, we had some technical difficulties. Let's see where the night takes us. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on this generation of Castlevania games?
I'm so. I love this series dearly. I really do. And to see where it got to, from starting really as that homage to the Universal Monsters to where it has ended up, you know, and not talking about how it's ended up, like, in the garbage, because Konami's a bunch of pricks, but, like, where this series eventually got especially when Igarashi became involved. I mean, it just became this really incredible... this incredible franchise that has produced some really truly amazing games. So, I mean, I'm fucking excited to keep talking about this, because I don't know if I love it as much as Mike Sheridan does, but I love this franchise dearly and hope in some way it continues in the style that we want it to, you know, in the 2D Metroidvania style. But we'll see.
Agreed. Yeah, this is also, I don't talk about it enough. I feel like I'm not as connected to it these days as I once was. But seriously, Castlevania is all time for me. It's I like this series a lot more than I think I talk about it. And doing this retrospective is really getting me amped to play some more Castlevania stuff. Because, boy, going through the games on this list, I was like, I should really go back and play Curse of Darkness.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe not that one. But
Maybe I'll leave the 3D ones alone. But I have spent an inordinate amount of time on Castlevania games, and I miss them. I'm a backer of Bloodstained, and I'm really hoping it doesn't turn into Mighty No. 9. Because, fingers crossed, but... All right, that's our show. Tune in next week for part two of our Castlevania retrospective. Dan and I will be moving on to the Castlevania games done in the 16-bit style, which incorporates some of the very best games this series has to offer. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris. Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
And if you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, where we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com, where we post something new every single day. Thank you again for listening. On behalf of myself, Dan, and our invisible producer, Dracula, Evan, keep playing games.